Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
Well, they say the first million's the hardest, right? I hope that's the case, because now we're into our second million, and I want to thank you for making that happen. Worldwide streams, over a million. We just had our big release party, celebration party for 1 million, and our new award at the Commodore Grill just a couple of weeks ago. But again, I want to thank you for making it happen and for spreading the word. This is episode number 177. If you're listening on the morning that it's out there published, it's October the 9th. And our guest today is one I've been wanting to have on the show, well, since we started this thing in January of 2021. She is Lauren Mazzetti. How are you, Lauren?
I'm doing fabulous, Dave. I'm so excited and honored to be here and be a part of 2 Million episode 177. Yes, sir. I'm so excited and honored.
And we have Nana, too.
Yep.
Thanks, Nana, for coming as well. You know, when you were on American Idol, Nana was like, she was the star as well.
Oh.
Does she have her own fan page and everything?
You know, she is on Facebook and Instagram as Nana Di Mazzetti, and everybody just calls her Nana.
Everybody's
Nana.
Nana. And on your Facebook page, you said, I'm not ashamed to admit, Nana's cooler than me.
Oh, she absolutely is. Like, I admit that. I mean, I'm just, it's her world. I'm living in it. And if you know, I want to be heard when I grow up. So.
You want to be her.
Yeah.
There's your idol right there.
Yeah, all it right. is.
Good.
So, but it's funny because whenever I was on Idol, like, people would see me out. And this was after COVID. Yeah. Like, whenever I was voted off was, like, right in, like, mid-March when all the shutdowns were happening in 2020. Ooh, and
tough time.
And so we would go to, like, Costco or something and... And especially because we had...
my cat is...
that's totally fine with me. Anybody that also knows me is that I'm a crazy cat lady, so...
There must be a closed door. She hates closed doors. Anyway, I'm sorry, cat lady.
No,
yeah,
yes.
But I'm glad that you love cats.
Absolutely. I got one of my own. My Siamese named Waylon. He's my son.
I love that it's Waylon. Anyway, but, she interrupted you, not me.
Oh, well,
the cat.
That's fine. She's a Nashville cat.
She is a Nashville cat. You know, I'll tell you what. When I first moved here, it was 2013. I've been coming down a lot just to write and to play different rounds and things. And I knew eventually I would live here. But I remember after moving here, going to a writer's round at the Maxwell House, Millennia Maxwell House in town, where Lee Riscone,
dear friend.
And I was playing in the late show. So I go up to the bar, and my favorite bartender, George, is up there. Just going to grab a beer, and I hear this angelic voice. And I'm like, ooh, what? I said, forget the beer, George. I got to sit down. And I'm listening, and I watch you. And I'm like, oh, my God, this girl is for real. So I go up to Lee, and who's this? Because that's Lauren Massetti, and I never forgot it. Aww, and I followed you from that day. So it is an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You were bitten by the bug. Music chose you at a very early age, huh?
It absolutely did. I was so blessed to get to grow up in a church. Shout out Trinity Gospel Temple in Canton, Ohio, Brother Dave Lombardi.
That's right. You're from Ohio.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Northeast Ohio.
Me too.
And,
yep.
And I was so blessed to get to grow up in the church environment that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was raised and adopted by my grandparents, my Nana and my Papaw. And, my Nana, of course, has just the greatest taste in music. And I was raised on a lot of really great gospel music and Motown. And Nana loved a lot of soul music. And, of course, both Nana and Papaw love classic country. But especially Papaw loved a lot of, like, the renegade songwriter types, like Waylon Jennings.
Wow.
It's funny, the guitar that I play, the Black Gibson Dove, was his dad's. And his dad gave it to him, and Papaw gave it to me. And
how old were you when he handed that guitar down to you?
Oh, I don't even remember. I've had it since I was too young to remember. I don't know. Whenever I started getting more serious about guitar was when I was like 12, 13.
So might have been around there.
So, yeah, probably around there.
That's so cool about that guitar. It's such a beautiful sounding guitar. Strum it one time for us.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Passed down. There's got to be a song about that, Lauren. Have you written that song
actually
yet?
I have not. I haven't, but I that's a good idea, actually. That'd be a good thing to do.
This old guitar.
Yeah.
Passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a story. Now, I read that you, like, recorded your first record when you were 8?
Yep.
And then a couple more when you were 10?
Yep.
What took you so long?
Well, like I was saying, that church that I grew up in was just so great in the development of what I have become, what I am becoming, whatever I am. But But Cheryl Jameson, a woman that was in our church choir, incredible singer, from the time I could remember, you know, she was the leader of our church choir and beautiful, incredible singer. And when I was little, I used to look up at her like she was just this rock star, you know, and she was. And her husband, Terry Jameson, ran sound for us at our church. And he was also like a gold record winning, like, sound engineer. And he had gold records with, like, REO Speedwagon and Styx and Dan Fogelberg. And Cheryl had toured with a lot of different church ministries and led a lot of worship groups. And so, anyway, we had a little studio at the back of our church. And so when I was 8 years old, they produced a little gospel record on me.
And that's crazy.
That's kind of what gave me the bug. And so I had that little CD, and Nana would take me around to different churches in the area and just stick me up on stage, and I'd sing whatever played. We'd be in our kitchen half the time. Nana would be, you know, pointing out the notes and stuff, teaching me all these gospel songs, and it just kind of expanded from there. We started going across state lines, and you know.
By the time you're in your teens, you're playing Branson, right?
Yeah.
Lots of shows.
Yep. It's wild because knowing that I started so young, like 7, 8 years old, and putting myself in Nana's shoes and looking at a 7-year-old kid, like, I always loved to sing. Even, like, from the time I was 3 years old, though, writing was always a part of that, too.
As young as three, you can remember.
Yeah, I loved the creative process. I had a little toy tape recorder that I would like record these little jingles in and like play them back and like try to make up rhymes and stuff. And I always loved to write poetry growing up. And and it's funny because my papaw is a long distance truck driver. And so at the end of every like little jingle I'd make up, I'd say real deep in the microphone, "Let's see how it turned out, bud." But I just, I love to sing, but I also knew from a very early age that I love to create, you know, as well. And so, I was involved very heavily in gospel music. And when I was 12 years old, I had belonged to a Christian talent organization. It was nationwide, but Ohio didn't have a division. It was called American Kids. Wow. And they had different competitions throughout the country. And like, it was for all kinds of different performing things. I also danced, too. I had dance choreography numbers in it. I had singing.
That I didn't know.
Yeah. Wow. And so, just, I competed in, like, different categories. And it was just a lot of fun and something to help me, you know, cultivate what I love to do. And so, like I said, Ohio didn't have a division. So, the first time we went, we had to go to Chicago, Illinois. And so, I won.
Rambling town. Anyway.
Well, I won for the state of Illinois and got to go to the nationals for which the headquarters was in Branson, Missouri. And
wow.
And so the nationals were held in Branson, and every year they would have it at like a different theater. And that's kind of what, you know, got me going to Branson regularly. But the first time we went, we stayed, and I don't know if anybody remembers the Jim Baker Show.
Oh yeah,
PTL, but he's got his own new Christian TV show there in Branson, and has for a lot of years. He and his wife Lori, and so whenever we went, we visited the Jim Baker Show, and we were sitting there, and you could make out these little cards that were sitting on the table saying what you did and where you're from, and so I said I'm from Louisville, Ohio, and I'm a gospel singer. And so the producer of the show came out and said, "Oh, we heard you're a gospel singer." And this was before the show started. And she's just like, "Well, do you want to audition for our studio audience?" And she said, "Well, we don't have any time for you to sing today. We already have the show planned out. But we would love to have you come back if everybody likes you." And so I sang and everybody clapped she came out and said, "Yeah, that was great, you know, and we don't have time for you today, but, you know, if you would like to come back, and we'd love to have you on the show." So we sat there, the show started, and Jim came out, and the co-host that day was a guy named Gary McSpadden, who...
Oak Ridge boy,
yeah,
right?
Original Oak Ridge boy, yeah. And he had even sung with Elvis, just incredible, beautiful voice and a long history in gospel music. And
incredible.
And so he was the co-host that day. And so just the show started, and out of nowhere, Jim started talking to me at our table. And he's just like, "Yeah, I heard that, you know, there was a little girl out here that was singing." And he said, "I don't know. I've never heard you."
And
Would
how old
you
are
like
you now?
To-
You're like, how old then?
12? Oh, this was 12.
You're 12.
Yep,
you're 12.
I was 12.
Okay.
And he's just like, "Well, I don't know, because I haven't heard you. Would you like to sing for me?" And I'm like, "Sure." And so I got up and I sang "Taking It Back" on the Jim Baker Show. You know, I grew up in a shouting church, so, you know, we're pretty charismatic. And so anyway, Gary wanted to talk to us after the show, and he's just like, "Yeah, I have a Southern Gospel Sundays show that I do at the Americana Theater, and I would love to have you on the show this Sunday if you're still going to be around." And so we were going to be around, and so we came to the show. He gave us tickets, and I sang on Gary McSpadden's Southern Gospel Sundays show that Sunday. And
incredible.
And so after the show, he said, "Lauren, don't leave. I want to talk to you out in the lobby before you leave." And so he met us out there, and he said, I'm wondering if you and your Nana would want to move out here and be a part of my show. I want to have a Christmas show this year, and I'm trying to, you know, find some people to be in it, and I would like to know if you'd want to be in it." And we're just like, "Hold on, let me think about that." Yes.
And, so you moved from Louisville to...
Yep.
To Branson.
We moved to Branson. We lived out there for about 4 or 5 months, And I was in more of his Southern Gospel Sunday show, and then that transitioned into the Christmas show. And
it was
you know, and it was one of the most wonderful times of my life.
I'll bet you're making a name for yourself.
Yeah, the sweetest age. Memories. I was out there with another gospel group, the Brown family from Iowa.
Wow.
Larry Moore, an incredible country music singer, songwriter stuff. Out there, and and Gary was in it, and just the people that were around me. It's wild how people touch your life in different ways.
It really is.
Especially Gary. He had written songs himself, and I'd never really been around songwriters up until that point, and real musicians. Like, being out in Branson is what made me really want to hone in on my guitar skills and just things to help me be able to create. And and so Gary is the one that said, you know, I have some friends in Nashville, and he knew I wanted to write too. And he's just like, I think you need to start going to Nashville. And so when Nana and I moved back to Ohio, we started coming back and forth.
Do little trips back and forth. Yep. That's how it always starts, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So listen, before we go any further, and I want to, there's another reason why you stayed in Louisville for a while. We're going to talk about it. But I got to hear a song from you. We've had you on this show for 13 minutes, and we need a song.
Of course.
My goodness. Lauren Mazzetti is our guest. Amazing artist, singer, and writer. Mm. Lauren, play something.
Well, I'll do y'all a song that I got to do on American Idol, and it was inspired by my Nana that raised me, and I just got to thinking one day what a incredible Proverbs 31 woman she is, and I also got to thinking about how blessed we are as women to live in the greatest country in the world, and how sometimes we get carried away thinking and trying to prove we can do everything a man can do, that sometimes we forget the things that make us unique as women and the really beautiful things. And I wanted to put all those things into a song, and I got to do it when I was on American Idol. And I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Fantastic. But love this song.
It's called God Made a Woman. Down, so God made a woman. He took a little beauty, took a little grace, a whole lot of passion and a whole lot of pain. Put it all together and gave it a name. Yeah, God made a woman. God made. And a little insane, but honey, you can't get us out of your brain. 'Cause God made a woman. We're the keeper of the child that cries. We're the singers of the lullabies. We'll take your lonely and make a life. 'Cause God made a woman. Yes, He did. God made a woman to hold the hand of the sick and the young and the broken man, to fall in love and fill the land with beating hearts of fire. What you gonna do when the night gets cold and you need somebody to feed your soul? He said it ain't no good for a man to be alone, so
said it ain't no good for a man to be alone, so God made a woman.
Lauren Mazzetti, our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast, the song that got her into the American Idol right there. Yeah. I remember watching the audition. And I remember you were there with Sean Camp, who's one of my favorite songwriters. Mm-hmm. And I remember Luke Bryan really went crazy. And he loved your performance. And the rest is history. And we're going to talk about that. From Louisville, Ohio. So a fellow Ohio person. You just got back from playing at the Ohio Opry, right?
I did. Mm. Those are some dear, dear friends of mine.
And now we've got lawnmowers to compete. We do this show in my dining room, at my dining room table.
You got to do what you got to do. The lawn's going to look amazing.
Yeah. That's my neighbor cutting it. If he would only be cutting mine. But anyway, I'm sorry. So you were at the Ohio Opry.
Yep, the Ohio Valley Opry.
And tell me about that. What is
it? I've been playing there since I was a teenager, really. The Clark family, Marvin and Dina Clark. Uh-huh. And they're just incredible. They have this house band. Uh-huh. Some of it is made up of their family. Some of it is made up of friends that are like family. They're some of the dearest, most talented people I've ever known, but Dina plays keys and sings. Marvin plays telly and sings, and he's also written a lot of like bluegrass stuff. He's had a lot of cuts by the Lonesome River Band, he's an incredible songwriter. But
very good.
And then my down in Amish country, Ohio, mm-hmm. Sugar Creek, I used to take guitar and mandolin lessons at the Hummingbird Music Studio from a guy named Rick Troyer. Who for years, he's like family to the Clarks as well, and he was their steel player for a lot of years, and I think that's how I got involved with them.
You've been doing that for a while, huh?
Yeah.
I've seen video. It was awesome. It was
incredible.
Thank
you so much. It was so much fun. Yeah. It always is, and yeah, I try to get back up there. It's at the Twin City Opera House in McConnellsville, Ohio, mm-hmm. and I try to get up there at least once a year, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and not the only Opry you've played on, because you've been in the circle. You played the Opry.
God is good, Dave.
Tell us a little bit about that experience, man. That had to be like...
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I told y'all earlier about my Black Gibson Dove that I play. It was my papaw's, and before it was papaw's, it was his dad's. And so my whole life I told papaw, you know, if I ever get the chance to play in the circle at the Grand Ole Opry, I'm going to play grandpa's guitar. And not ever thinking that it was actually going to happen, but after I came off of Idol and I had God Made a Woman out as a single...
did very well, by the way. Very well.
Thank you so much. When I was on Idol, the day after I was voted off, my record, which the record was called God Made a Woman, mm-hmm. The record went to number 4 on the iTunes country chart, and the single itself went to number 13. You know, God is so good. It was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Incredible.
But so May 7th, 2021, because of the exposure from Idol and things kind of picking up with my music career, I got to actually step into the circle and play Papaw's guitar. And Nana and Papaw were in the audience, and I got to point them out.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
Opry story than right there. That grandpa's guitar in the circle. Come on, we got to get writing on that.
I know, I do.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Missing the boat here, working too many night shifts.
and that's what I wanted to talk about next.
Yeah,
one of the reasons why you didn't come to Nashville at a very young age is because you had another passion as well, mm-hmm. and you're a registered nurse.
I am.
You know what I always admire? I used to work at the Ryman, and I used to love to give the tours. You know.
Yeah.
And we'd go into the Women of Country room, and we always talked about the different ladies in there. And I always pointed out a picture of Tammy Wynette, and uh-huh. she's writing, and she was so beautiful. And Tammy always kept her, she was a hairstylist, uh-huh. and she always kept her license up to date.
Yep.
Because in case this music thing doesn't work out, right?
Yep. Well, you know.
And you kind of do this. You're a nurse.
Yeah.
So how is there enough hours in the day for you?
Well, you know, it's nursing has been such a huge blessing to me, not only because of the kind of work that I get to do, but my grandparents, like I said, they raised me, adopted me. My Nana is my best friend. And thank God for good parents, because before we moved, Nana's just like, well, we'll move to Nashville with you, but you got to get a degree first. Mm-hmm. And so I went to school up in Ohio, got my RN, and we moved after that.
But I just applaud her for that. I mean,
oh my gosh.
It's just amazing. Yeah.
It's been the biggest blessing, though, because, I mean, my schedule gets to be flexible. I can kind of pick and choose my hours around my music schedule. Everybody I work with is just so supportive. And especially when I was on Idol and I had to take off and like, I mean, it's been a huge, huge
Do the patients blessing. Ever go, hey, you're that girl from,
yep.
They do all the time.
They did, especially when I was on and it's funny cause like a lot of times when my coworkers will transfer a patient to me or something, they're just like, okay, well tell her she's got to sing for you now.
I was going to ask, do you ever sing for them?
Oh yeah. All the time. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. But it's such a huge blessing. I can't say that enough.
Awesome.
I love getting to be a nurse.
I love the fact that you get to do, you know, both things that you love.
But I will say though about the Women of Country dressing room backstage at the Opry. Mm-hmm. That's the dressing room I had for my Opry debut. I've gotten to do
it really?
like 6 times now. Hopefully it'll be 7. Then hopefully it'll be 8. But
isn't that incredible?
But I've had the Women of Country dressing room a few times, and for my debut it was the Women of Country dressing room, and I think they did that on purpose. But I remember
inspiration there.
Oh, there is, and you know I got to do God Made a Woman. That was one of my songs that I did during my debut, and as I was rehearsing it backstage in my dressing room. Just thinking about the lyrics of what God Made a Woman mean to me and what they might have meant to the women in all those photos looking down at me, you know, Tammy and Patsy. I mean, I was looking around and I just started sobbing like 5-10 minutes before I had to go out. And I'm like, what am I doing? My mascara is going to be ruined.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, that's
how emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really a powerful moment. And then I had to pull it together.
I can't imagine, but you did, and you did well. Wow, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
What a story.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you've had a single that came out this summer, a duet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about?
Yeah, so I guess it's been almost a couple years now. I've been working with a guy. He was a founding member of Lone Star. His name is Dean Sams.
Dean Sams.
And he has become one of my best friends in the whole world. So about a year ago, he introduced me to another guy who has also been a dear friend of his for a long time, a guy named Kenny Haas. Mm. And he's from the Chicago area. He and his wife moved to Nashville for a short time and then ended up moving back to Chicago, which is a good thing because he and his wife just had their first little one. So they get to be around family. But the first song that the three of us wrote together was a duet, and it's called Drive Me Crazy, and we finally released it a few weeks ago.
It's a great song.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm excited.
Is that one you can play, or would you rather me play it off of like Spotify or something?
Yeah, Spotify would be great. Yeah,
so we can play, so you can hear both Lauren and Kenny.
Yeah, so it's a duet with me and Kenny that Dean Sams produced, and he also co-wrote the song, and he's also the one singing the third part harmony on the choruses.
Ooh,
so,
okay,
yeah.
Well, let's give it a listen. Here we go. Laura Bassetti is our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
I had it all figured out, how I wanted everything the way it was. DIY, independent, on my own, never needed crazy love. Thought I was alright, turns out I was wrong. You were born to drive me crazy. Got the wheel and the pedal down. I was born to love you, baby. You were born to drive me crazy. I dug my heels in the mud, giving up on out how I wanted everything the way it was.
I dug my heels in the mud, giving up on everything and everyone.
I had it all figured out how I wanted everything the way it was.
No more
DIY, independent, on my own. I'm glad we found our crazy love.
Lauren Macetti along with Kenny Haas. That's the new single, came out in July of this year, and it's streaming everywhere. Please find it and add it to your collection. Yay. Of stuff. Lauren, we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk. We'll get into that idol stuff. Is that all right? You want to talk about that?
Fine with me.
All right.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
We thank you for sticking with us and for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast, streaming everywhere. We've got a new episode that comes out each and every Wednesday. So you get up early in the morning, have coffee, and make a songwriter connection. And if you're listening on YouTube, even though we're not a video podcast as of yet, please click and subscribe, because that really helps us. All right. Appreciate it. Lauren Macetti is with us, and I'm so happy and thrilled to finally have you here at my dining room table playing songs and singing.
I'm thrilled and happy to be here at your dining room table. This is so much fun.
I remember, like I said, I discovered you long before American Idol, just seeing you in rounds around here. Cheered you on through the whole idol experience. In fact, talked about you on the radio a lot. He said, yeah, watch this girl.
Thank you. And
in my opinion, you should have won that year. That was your year.
Thank you so much.
Nobody's got a voice like you. What an experience. What can you share about that?
Yeah, you know, my experience was wonderful. I never really thought that that would be a route that I would ever go. And I don't know why. I just... somebody had messaged me like on Instagram, said, hey, you know, I work for blah, blah, blah. And I think you should send in an audition video. And I talked about it with Nana, and I'm like, you know, should I do it? Uh-huh. And she's like, well, we don't have anything to lose, you know? And so I did, and made it to the live auditions, and, just everybody that I worked with was wonderful. My whole experience, the thing I love most about Idol, and something that this show will appreciate and the audience will appreciate and you'll appreciate, is that it's like they encourage artists to do songs they've written if they're songwriters.
You know, I love that. And that's kind of a recent thing for them, really. That wasn't from the beginning.
No.
So they said, go ahead, knock yourself out, but play original music. And that's what you did.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And it was, I just loved my experience.
I'll bet.
And I came in 21st place, which is first if you're playing blackjack. But, you know, I just, in every aspect of
success
my life.
Success is how you look at it,
of
folks.
Course.
I've always said that, yeah.
You know. Yeah. I just believe in every aspect of my life, American Idol included, that God's plan is a lot better than my own plan.
Absolutely.
And it always works out to be that way. So.
Is it true?
Yeah.
All the time. Wow. Amazing experiences. And you made good friends, I'm sure, huh?
Yeah. They were all extremely talented. And and another thing that I loved as the takeaway from that, and especially something that I learned like during Hollywood Week, when I did God Made a Woman, was, you know, I think there was like 167 contestants that was whittled down to 40 by the end of the week. It was like three rounds in 4 days, and we're running off of maybe 6 hours of sleep over the course of 3 days.
And can you imagine?
It was crazy. And I just kept hearing all these incredible voices and all these different styles, pop music, soul music, R&B, and you know, at the time I was doing primarily mostly traditional
country
Americana, acoustic singer-songwriter type music, and I just kept listening and thinking, man, do I have what it takes? Is this what they're looking for? And is what I bring to the table enough? And being in situations like that where you're comparing yourself to other people's gifts, it's like,
that's,
you know, it puts you in a really wild position, And so I made it past the first round. I did a Crystal Gayle song that I grew up loving, Don't It Make Your Brown Eyes Blue.
Great song.
Yeah, Don't It Make My Brown
Richard
Eyes
Lee.
Blue. And
yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm, yep, Richard Lee. Uh-huh. And the second round was the duet round, and I partnered with another Americana guy who was awesome, and we did Jackson. And,
oh, wow.
And like just kind of seeing how the thing that I thought was maybe making me, you know, stand out as not being, you know, enough, it actually is what, you know, made me unique enough to be like, oh, we don't have, you know, a traditional country artist in the top 40. You know, it made me stand out. My uniqueness and sticking to what I loved to do was what was getting me through.
I'm
you know,
I'm so glad you're saying this.
Yeah,
I preach this all the time on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
Worry about genre. Do your thing.
Right.
Be you. You are unique. You.
Yeah.
And here you are telling this story.
And it's funny because, like, I love all different genres. I grew up singing all different genres.
But you've
genres.
Always, I've heard it said that country has always been in your heart, though.
Oh, absolutely. Well, mm-hmm. The storytelling aspect of it especially, and mm-hmm. and I just love it all. That's why, you know, Linda Ronstadt has always been one of my biggest heroes is because yeah. She did everything mm-hmm. for no reason at all other than she just loved it, and they were stories that she wanted to tell. And
absolutely.
So, yeah. But I loved learning that about myself, and it kind of gave me more confidence to be myself,
you
know?
Go.
So
it did
yeah,
wonders.
It was great.
You're happy for the experience and stronger and better for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Well, I want to hear another song from you.
Yeah.
You know, you do a lot of writing on your own, but you also do the co-writing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's important still to do a lot of solo writes, isn't it?
You know, it's wild because Nashville is such a co-writing town.
We are. Mm-hmm.
But you know, growing up in Louisville, Ohio, there wasn't really anybody to write with, and mm-hmm. and co-writing is a completely different thing than solo writing. And I still think my thing is solo writing. That's where I'm most comfortable. It's my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot more insecure in co-writes, but but I also love co-writing because when you find people that you jive with and
absolutely.
I mean, I've met so many wonderful people. Just, I mean, getting to be in a room doing what you love with people that you love,
mm-hmm.
like getting to share in that is such a great experience.
It's
two different things, but I love them both. So
what's the best song ever written?
Oh, the best song ever written?
The last one you wrote, right?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why
is that?
I don't.
Yeah, they're your
lady. It's the shiny new thing.
It's the shiny new thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, I thought you were asking what is the best song ever written.
If I did, you would say?
In my opinion, it's Vincent by Don McLean.
Ooh.
That song in and of itself. That's
Starry Night.
That's my gold standard song.
Is it really?
Perfectly crafted, poetic.
Oh,
it's poignant. It's, yeah.
Craft. We're going to get into the craft in a little bit, but I want to hear a song from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
tell me about the song and go write, solo write. Tell me all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see. What am I going to play right now? I could do
something that goes with a lawnmower.
Something that goes with a lawnmower.
Got a lawnmower again on the next
neighbor.
You know
what? I'm going to play a song for you. I'm getting ready to go up and do the Blavelt Sons of Italy Italian Feast.
Nice.
And this is a song I wrote by myself. But
Italian Feast.
We were talking earlier about how you're part Italian.
Yep.
I'm Italian, of course.
Hey,
Lauren Massetti. Yeah,
Lauren
we're cousins.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting ready to go up and do the Blavelt Sons of Italy Italian Feast in Tappan, New York. It's about 25 minutes outside of the city.
Mm.
And I've been doing it for almost 15 years now.
Wow.
And I, those guys up there, they're members of the Sons of Italy Lodge, but they're also like a lot of actors in Law and Order and The Sopranos.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they're the Italians that talk like that, like, hey, don't worry about it. What's the matter with you? You know, and it's funny because like
jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whenever, like you're from the Cleveland area of Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and I'm from the Canton area.
Right.
And in Northeast Ohio, there's a lot of Italians, but when you come down to Tennessee, there's not so many.
Not so many.
And so, and those guys up there are just like family to me. They're like uncles. And
yeah,
so when I moved to Tennessee, I started getting called a Yankee. And I'm like, I'm from the Midwest. Like, you know, I never even thought about that. But
I'm an Indians fan, not a Yankee.
Yeah, I know. And so anyway, I just thought I would write this song as an ode to the people that I love in the Northeast. And it's called Forget About It.
Forget About It. I love it.
Well, hey, baby, welcome to the family. There's something that you ought to know about my Uncle Paulie, my big brother Vinny, and my daddy, old Crazy High Joe. They're okay, but let's just say you better not be fooling around. 'Cause my last man who sent me home a crying is sleeping with the fishes now. So say you love me and don't let me doubt it. Oh, baby, you can't forget about it. Yeah. Well, it ain't all bad. Just wait till you've had my Nona's world famous cannoli, a mama's lasagna, a chicken piccata. We'll send you into matrimony. Just don't be mean to your Yankee queen. No, don't go messing up my mascara. 'Cause in Nona's kitchen, she might go slipping something in your marinara. So baby, be true, there ain't no way around it. Oh, baby, you can't forget about it, yeah. All right, I'm gonna introduce y'all to my family now. Here we go. We got Big Petey, Little Petey, Black Jack, Lamborghini, Silent Louie, Cousin Stewie, Freddy the Frog, Tugboat to Gino, and Sal Di Martino. Who knows a guy who knows if you've been doing me wrong? So do right, baby, that river's getting crowded. Oh, baby, you can't forget about it, yeah.
River's getting crowded.
Well, one more time. We got Big Petey, Little Petey, Black Jack, Lamborghini, Silent Louie, Cousin Stewie, Freddy the Frog, Tugboat to Gino, and Sal Di Martino. Who knows a guy who knows if you've been doing me wrong? So do right, baby, that river's getting crowded. Oh, baby, you can't forget about it, yeah. I have a feeling you guys are gonna be Pisons in no time. I know a guy. Forget about it.
I love it. That's great. Crazy. Big Petey, Little Petey.
You know, it's funny because a lot of the names in that song are actually people that I know. And Silent Louie was my grandfather.
Really?
Yeah. I knew Freddie the Frog from Canton. I mean,
Freddie the Frog.
Uncle Paulie, he's the one that has
I had an up. Uncle Paulie, yep. Too. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mario. And
yep.
My grandfather was Russ. My uncle was Russ. My brother was, you'd say Russ at a family reunion.
Russ.
Everybody turn around. His real name was Rosario, but when it came from the old country, yeah. They said, you're Russ.
Russ, yep.
You're Russ.
Or Vinny. We have a Vinny. Lot of friends named Vinny. Yep.
That's a great song. Did you write it by yourself?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so darn clever. Man.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk about your style a little bit.
Yeah.
We could talk about your vocal style, which is absolutely incredible.
Aww.
Sometimes you get that little yodel in.
Thank you.
Amazing. It's developed over years and years. Your songwriting style, where'd that come from? How do you approach a song?
Shoot, I don't even know. Like, it's different every time. And it's funny because, like I said, I relate to Linda Ronstadt so much because...
Yeah.
She really didn't have, I mean, she did it all. She loved it all, did whatever spoke to her. And that's kind of the way I've always been, you know, starting out in gospel music. I even, like, growing up in gospel, I did all the subgenres of whatever gospel music was, you know, contemporary, right. Southern gospel, soul gospel, like, everything. And so, like, I don't know, whenever I sit down to write a song, I just kind of let the story lend itself to whatever style makes sense with it.
Where, I got you.
Like, mm-hmm. melodically, I don't know. I think it just kind of depends on the mood, and I've written a lot of different styles. Like, lately, I've been writing a lot of kind of R&B soulful type stuff.
Have you really?
Like bluesy.
Well,
and because I'm on a, I mean, I've loved Delbert McClinton my whole life, and so I'm kind of on a Delbert style click, for a while. But I don't know. I just, it just kind of comes out the way it comes out. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I understand that. I'm talking about things like structure and melody.
Uh-huh.
Do you go into, and I imagine it works a lot of different ways. Like you said, there's probably no one answer to this, but
mm-hmm.
you find a lot of time it starts with like the hook or the title of the song.
Yeah. Usually, uh-huh. I'll start with a hook. Mm-hmm. And I'll sit down and kind of mess around with some things on guitar, chord wise, and
mm-hmm.
and kind of come up with a mood or a vibe that fits whatever the hook is lending itself to. And usually I'll start with the hook, I'll come up with a chord structure and a melody first, and then I'll fill in the lyric around the hook after that, once I know kind of where the melody's going to go.
Kind of work on the bones, the structure first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're there. And you know, I like that approach and I'll do that sometimes, because sometimes you get a melody in your head,
mm-hmm.
and the words seem to like sing to you. Like,
yeah.
Do you find that happen?
Yeah. Always. That's usually the way I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the way I do it every time? No. Mm-hmm. But that's usually the way that I go about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the co-writing session, I'll find myself saying that. Would you play that melody one more time? I just uh-huh. have to hear that melody. Would you play it? And they go, Dave, play it. Just play the melody.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
To me, and I don't know if you're the same, but it was the melody that always first drew me in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lyrics put me away.
Me too. Yeah. That's always, I love melody. And mm-hmm. whenever there's a melody that just draws you in, it makes you want to pay attention to what it's saying.
It sure does. Yeah. So fantastic. And you said something interesting to me. I don't know if we were on mic or off, but you were saying that you would be just as happy writing songs for other people than performing. And that surprises me because you're such a great performer.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I love performing, and I'm always going to be doing it. I don't know. Uh-huh. Success is on a sliding scale. And the older I get, I'm just like, as long as I am getting to play music I love to people I love, doesn't matter where it's at. You know, I'm in this for the long haul.
Absolutely.
And
me too.
Whether or not, like, if I'm able to sustain myself and make a living playing music, that's success to me. So whatever comes with it, it's like, I can't not do this, you know.
It's like you listen to my podcast. These are the things I preach. You define your own success.
Yeah.
And I think that's where happiness evolves.
Absolutely.
Know, you're doing what you love and what you have a passion for.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I admire you for that.
Thank you so much.
I really
love writing music, and the creative process is something that, you know, I eat, sleep, and breathe. And
mm-hmm.
and so I would be elated if artists wanted to take what I create and just make it explode on a bigger platform than I would be able to do myself. That I would be 100% okay with that.
Wonderful.
You know? And I've been blessed to have a few cuts. I haven't really, you know, attempted to pitch any of my stuff yet, because I've always been, you know, writing for my own projects and stuff. But Brooke and Darren Aldridge recorded song that me and Christian Bearfield and Bill White,
my buddy.
Yeah,
we worked the radio together. Bill,
yeah,
Bill,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he's a dear, dear friend.
He's such a good guy.
But that was a huge blessing this year. And it's...
How did you feel when you first heard it played back to you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first time I heard it, because Brooke and Darren are just so wonderful. They're just such precious human beings. And they asked me to
been trying to get
sing.
Him on this podcast for a long time. Eventually, we're going to someday.
I'll put in a word.
Put another word. I've talked to her so many times about it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, they were kind enough to ask me to sing harmony on the recording as well. And so the first time I heard it was when we were in the studio, and I was there to record with them, and And it was just beautiful. Wow. It was so cool. Wow. And a three-part harmony with them on a song that crazy. I was in on, like, it's like a high, you know?
I bet.
I would know.
Yeah.
Not that I know, but,
No. What kind of a better high would there be?
That's the high.
That's awesome. Yeah. What a great story. Thanks. Well, let's hear another song from you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'll play you one. We were joking earlier about your most recent song. If you ask any songwriter what their most recent song is, it's always or what their favorite song is, it's always going to be their most recent one. And I wrote this one pretty recently, and this is one where, like I was saying, my preferred way of going about writing a song is to have the hook first, and then come up with a chord structure or a melody. And then fill in the lyrics after that. And this was one of those that I wrote in that way. But
awesome.
I was sitting on my bed.
It's the solo right?
Solo right. Yeah. I was sitting on my bed feeling sorry for myself one night and wrote this song and it made me feel better.
Good. But, that's what music can do.
Right. Yeah. It's called Hard to Be a Girl.
Oh.
Said I was too young back in my younger days. Now they say I took too long, 'cause I'm over 28. No, I can't win. I'm just trying to begin. They said go fall in love, have a kid or three, but I lost some of myself when Mr. Right was wrong for me. A long roadblock in my race against the clock. And you're so pretty when you smile, you should do it more, they say. Just get rid of all the laugh lines you pick up along the way. Freeze it, fill it, fix it, honey, file it away. Oh, I know you've lived a little, just don't show it in the face. And make sure the number on the scale stays down. It's hard to be a girl in this world. Dad, be a boss and rock the cradle. Bring home a little bacon and have dinner on the table. By the way, don't ever let them think you're not okay. There's no box big enough to hold the hat, so we have to wear. We've been crucifying each other on this cross we have to bear. And you think the pressure's worth it when you reach the top at last. Break through that big old ceiling just to get cut on the glass. And if you spill a little blood, they take your crown. Yeah, it's hard to be a girl in this world.
Record that one?
I am at some point. Yeah. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to.
What's next for you?
Well, I have, I've been working on some stuff with my friend Dean Sams of Lone Star.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about. He is producing a lot of stuff on me.
Good.
And he's taking me in a direction that is different than anything I've ever done before. He's making my sound bigger, a little bit more progressive than I've gone before, but in a way that I'm really creatively proud of, and it's still a timeless sound. It's just a little bit bigger and different, you know, and I'm really...
But yet so you, huh?
Yeah, it's still me. I'm really excited about it.
It's fantastic.
And so I'm working on getting a lot of that stuff wrapped up so I can start releasing some of it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean Sams, great guy.
Yep,
In fact, quite recently on the show, we had J.K.A., Kelly Adams, who also works with Dean Sam.
Yep.
For years in Lone Star. So big name. So that's cool.
Yeah, and I'm excited for Jess, too. She's such a sweetheart and so talented.
She's something else. And what a personality.
Yeah, she is.
Her laugh just kills me.
Yep.
Yeah.
You feel it.
Yeah,
I was super blessed to get to write a couple of her singles, Homemade and... Wow.
And another one.
Yeah, another one. Homemade and, wow, I'm blanking on it.
And I'm blanking on it. Don't worry about it. It happens to me all the time. I even wrote a song about it. Squirrel.
Yeah, I just told you.
No, I forget to.
Man.
Hey, it's
this,
all right.
This getting old stuff is for the birds,
it
man.
It ain't for sissies now, is it?
Oh, Hold On To Me. That was
hold
it.
Hold On To Me. Okay.
Homemade and Hold On To Me. Very me and good. Dean and Jess Kelly wrote that together. Yeah.
Fantastic. Super. We can find you online where?
So, laurenmassetti.com. That's LaurenMassitti.
Massetti.com. Massetti.
Yep. And I'm on all the socials, Lauren Massetti, or if you want to see where I'm going to be playing, it's laurenmassetti.com, and I have
check
all my shows.
Yep.
I'm really excited. Anybody that's in the Indiana area, I'm playing. It's for St. Elizabeth's Catholic Charities. It's
a
benefit that I'm doing in, let me see. It's a night on the farm. I'm bringing my Nashville band with me. And it is
October 18th is what I have.
October 18th.
Yeah.
And I have a screenshot of all the information that is in Charlestown, Indiana.
Okay.
At Christiani Farms, that's 1034 Market Street in Charlestown, Indiana. That's going to be October 18th.
And you do a lot of the festival things stuff too, like the Island Hopper Festival. That's got to be a blast.
Yeah. Huh? Island Hopper. I'm doing Pensacola. Island Hopper, Pensacola Songwriters Festival. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you love doing that?
Those are so much fun.
I saw you a couple of years ago at the Gatlinburg Songwriters. What, they're not really doing that anymore?
Well, they just got done doing one. It's a little bit smaller now. Everything that they have is at the Gatlinburg Inn,
which I love.
Legendary Gatlinburg Inn.
Yeah.
And that's where Rocky Top was written,
yep,
you know, by
right there.
The Bulow and Felice.
Yes.
But anyway, no, they're still doing it, but it's become like a smaller, more intimate thing. And I personally...
Did you play it this year?
I didn't because I was playing the Ohio Valley Opera.
Ah,
I was
okay.
messaging Victoria. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so sad. But anyway, yeah, I usually do it, though. And I love that... They have all the events at the inn because you get to see everybody's show.
You know that's
what it's all about.
And that's where we stayed. And my favorite part was the jamming until 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. Everybody would show up with their instruments, and it was a hootenanny. We just had fun.
Yep.
Calling out the songs and just playing and picking all night long.
Uh-huh.
Can't beat that, huh?
Yep. For sure.
Well, listen, we wish you all continued success. And I just am so thrilled that you took the time out of your very busy schedule to come to our humble little podcast and write and sing songs around the dining room table. It's my favorite
thing. I love it. I love talking about the creative process and with another fellow songwriter. I mean, and you're wearing a Chief Wahoo ball cap.
I did in your honor.
This is the best day ever. Well, thank you so much for having me. And there's cats here.
And there's
my
cats.
My favorite thing.
Yeah.
So this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Love you, cuz. Thank you for
being here. Love you, cuz.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.